This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yo, what up? We got a lot to do. Great time for the sports calendar here. Tiki and Tierney, ready to roll, coming here from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. It's Masters Week. It's NCAA Championship time tonight. We have a lot going on. Hopefully everybody had a fantastic Easter. Tiki, how you doing, buddy? You good?
Yeah, no complaints. Good Easter. It was fun. It was easy, relaxed. And the women's championship was pretty exciting as well. At Stanford, the Cardinal.
Yeah.
Not
been
the
a
Cardinals.
While.
Cardinal. Pulls off the great victory, BT, because Arizona struggled, then they came back, and then they took the lead, and they struggled again, then they came back, and it came down to a last-second heave by McDonald, Erie McDonald, who she just couldn't get an open look, but she tried her darndest to get them a victory for Arizona. But Stanford hung in, man. And
yeah,
their journey this year is just awesome.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, their star player who missed the shot at the end, she shot, I think it was 53-54% on the season.
Yeah.
And the Cardinal held her to 25% in the game.
That's right.
So that was a pretty good finish. We had it on yesterday. Hopefully everybody's really ready for tonight. And, you know, listen, Teague, you just don't always know what you're going to get when you get into March Madness. And I know I've said this a couple times. The first day was phenomenal. The next day was lackluster. Most games were, you know, 14, 15, 16-point blowouts. And we've had a lot of twists and turns, the great stories, the Oral Roberts, USC making a little run, Pac-12 acquitting themselves very well. But this is what we were waiting for. We didn't know if we'd get there, but this is what we were waiting for. Remember, December 5th, these two teams were supposed to play each other. It got canceled. And, you know, we get a chance to tee it up tonight. And what we had over the weekend. Now, there are great epic finishes, and then there are great epic games with phenomenal finishes. Not every great finish is a great game. What we were treated to Saturday was, you know, college basketball royalty. UCLA shooting 57% against that sick, suffocating Gonzaga defense. Gonzaga doing their thing. Suggs' heroics. What a night.
Yeah, it was.
What a night.
It was. And, you know, at the end of the day, we got the two best teams in college basketball really all season long. I mean, there was a little bit of a blip there for Baylor when they had a little bit of a shutdown and they lost a couple of games. But these two teams were 1-2 all season long. So the fact that we actually got 1-2 overall to be in the final is something that's rare, because usually there's an upset somewhere along the line. But
yeah,
we didn't get it this time. But you're right, man. When you look at that UCLA game, I thought UCLA had no shot at winning that game. In fact, I thought it was going to be a blowout. After I saw,
I mean, they were 15-point dogs. Why wouldn't you think that?
I know.
Everybody thought that.
As Baylor destroyed Houston, that was like a no contest, mostly from the beginning of that one, basically. I thought we were going to get the same thing and set up this easy, we knew this was happening type of game in the championship game. But you got to give UCLA and Mick Cronin so much credit. And I will always believe in his ability to take kids to places that they didn't even think they could go to. Nobody thought, I mean, UCLA was good all year. I'm not discounting them at all.
Yep.
But nobody thought that, you know, after they got in barely, because they've been down a lot, right? They've been in overtime games a lot. I mean, they should have lost to Michigan State in the first four. They were down by 11 at halftime,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they just have a resilience about them that is, it's it's impressive. Look, the best team won, obviously.
Yes.
But UCLA is a, they're going to be a tough out for years.
Well, let
to
me
come.
Ask you this, because I think this is a fascinating question, and I don't know what your answer is, but I know that I was going back and forth internally. Mm-hmm. Who did you want to win that game? I don't mean going into the game, but as game developed and, you know, both teams had their fingerprints on the game. Who are you rooting for at the end? Like, they go to overtime. You're rooting for the Zags, or you're going for the Bruins at this point?
No, I was rooting for the Zags. I really was. I mean, I just, because I want to see one and two. I wanted to see them play Baylor, because Baylor looks like they're clicking on all cylinders. And again, they had a little bit of a stoppage at points in the end of the regular season, but they're back to what they were when they were clearly the number two. Gonzaga clearly the number one. Baylor is back. So I wanted to see one versus two in the NCAA final, which you rarely get, by the way. And so I was rooting for Gonzaga, even though I would have appreciated it if UCLA had won.
Teague, it was nice to see Gonzaga finally push. Remember the first game, Norfolk State, 43-point margin of victory. Mm-hmm. The next game was against Oklahoma. They won by 16. They beat Creighton by 18 points. They beat USC by 19 points. And you and I talked about the one thing the Trojans could not even do seemingly in the first part of that game was initiate their half-court offense. That's how good Gonzaga's defense was. And what I said before, that there's great epic finishes and there's great epic games with great finishes as well. You know, you cannot lose sight of how well, as you said, UCLA played. 58% they shot overall.
Yeah.
Contested shot, 47% from three. Just 10 turnovers. I mean, it was an absolute treat. And I'll tell you what, I don't know what was more impressive. When you look at, listen, take the sequence here with Suggs when he had the rejection at the rim, when he had the 50-foot, you know, bounce pass on a dime to a streaking Timmy for the jam, when it was 77-70 with 2 minutes to go in the game in regulation, Timmy draws the charge. Mm-hmm. Now, hold on. Are we sure that was a charge? Because Timmy's shoulder, if you look, now, his lower base was set, but his shoulder... I mean,
that's all that matters.
It's all feet, man. The shoulder came in a little bit, and his hand went up a little bit. I'm not saying that it was the wrong call.
No, it was the right call.
But hold on. If Gonzaga did that with 2 seconds to go, I know they adjusted the time at the end, but if Gonzaga did that at the end of the game, if it was flipped, and any UCLA player did that same thing that Timmy did, is that a guaranteed charge?
Look,
did the reps kind of fall?
No
victim.
Chance. I don't believe
to the
so.
Story.
I don't think that the no. There's no. You what? Can't. You can't. You're not thinking about it like
I'm
that.
I'm not
in
sure
real time.
If that was a charge, Teague. I'm still not sure. I watched it 30 times all weekend.
Look, it had all the mechanisms of a charge. He was set. He was outside the circle, and nothing even matters in college. And he gave up his body. Just because you're defending yourself against like contact coming at you doesn't mean that it lessens the effect of the call. So, these kids are not famous. I'll put that in quotes. Famous enough to get preferential, you know, calls on the NCAA in the Final Four from referees who may or may not have seen. I'm sure they know the storylines, but I don't think they're that engrossed in the storyline.
I'm not even saying they did it consciously. But you know Gonzaga, first team since 1976, trying to win the championship without a loss. I mean, they're human. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're in a bubble, but they're not, like, sequestered because there's a trial going
that
on
would be
with those phones or TV.
That would be irresponsible of me and you to speculate that a ref did that.
Well, I'm asking. I'm not assigning definitive blame, but I am asking the question. I'll ask it again. Are we guaranteed sure that that was a charge? D-cell.
It was
Are
called sure? a charge.
I understand what
that's
it was called.
That's all that matters.
No, that's not all that matters. So wait, so every bad call that goes down in history, why do we waste time discussing it if it's all that matters?
Well, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well,
so
I understand that too.
I thought it was a great play. He hustled to get into the right spot. He locked his feet in. And he turned a little bit because he didn't want to take this. Nobody wants to take a hit. Football players don't mind taking hits. Basketball players don't want to take hits like that.
D-Cell, you're a basketball fan. Are you guaranteed sure that that was a charge?
In real time, I questioned it a lot. I was not sold real time. After watching it repeatedly, I'm okay with the call.
I'm not okay. Again, I'm not saying I'm not okay with it, but I think it would be So you say it would be irresponsible to levy blame that it was done consciously, which I'm not doing.
Yes.
I think it would be irresponsible not to just bring it up and now we move on. I'm not going to belabor this whole show.
Good.
To not be charged. I hear you. It's a charge. I get it. But to not even visit it for a minute, that's all. I'm good. So I don't know what to expect tonight. I really don't know. The fact that Gonzaga had a game like this, I think was paramount because – not that they can't beat Baylor if they would have continued rolling through teams. But, Teek, you know this. As a former player, there's something to be said about learning how to operate within the confines of pressure that's amplified in the final few minutes, which they really haven't had the first four games or
no doubt,
four games.
Yep. Yeah, and you know what? Yeah, for first five, because this will be six, right? You got to win six, right?
Yeah, that's but I'm saying
say.
The fifth game,
the
there
first
was
four,
pressure, so
yes.
The previous four there was not.
But the same thing could have been said – because remember leading into the West Coast Conference Championship game, Gonzaga had not been tried at all. I mean, they were destroying teams by 20-plus points consistently. Then they get to the West Coast Conference Final against BYU. And BYU has them down by like 14.
Good team.
Really good team.
BYU's
absolutely.
Good. Yeah.
And it was the first time. And I remember saying this in real time. And we talked about this in real time. This was good for them. Because they needed a wake-up call going into the NCAA tournament. You can't get complacent just because you're so good up until that point. And look, they came out in the second half, and they waxed BYU, right? They ended up beating them by double digits, I think. Maybe it was 11 or so.
I think it was 12. But yeah.
Whatever it was. Away. But it was good that they had that experience going into the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
And then they get into the NCAA tournament, and it's just – would you just guess 43, 19, you know, 20-something, whatever it was.
43, 16, 18, 19.
They just kept dominating teams, right? And so all of a sudden, they might have had some complacency in their head, especially after watching, I'm sure they did, game tape of UCLA against Michigan. Because UCLA and Michigan, they played terrible offensively in that game.
Yeah, it's like a 1960s throwback.
Oh, my God, it was
51-49.
Dude, it was Virginia. It was Virginia from 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't necessarily great defense. It was just bad offense.
Yeah, and good distinction.
And so when you're watching, if you're Gonzaga and you're watching UCLA, you're probably going into the game like, all we got to do is just – not make any egregious mistakes, and we should walk away with this team.
Yeah,
from this team, and then UCLA comes out firing on all cylinders, 47%, 58% from the field, and Gonzaga finds himself in a game, and they could never pull away. So credit to UCLA again for flipping the script on what they had just previously done against Michigan and playing a great game against Gonzaga. Look, they rose to the occasion, and
you
got to give them credit for it.
I mean, they were hitting shots. They were just – they were incredible. I mean, they were hitting tough shots, too, like tough mid-range shots. Not even – and they hit threes as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were 47-48% from downtown. But they hit a lot of pull-ups, like top of the circle, a couple of baseline jump shots, guys who – Riley hit a couple jump shots. He stuck at least three that I remember. Mm-hmm. Lefty, that he's not necessarily known for that. They were so poised and so ready. You can't help but wonder, like, what is Cronin going to turn this program into?
Yeah, I agree.
But the only thing that I wonder about...
It bears watching. Because it feels like every few years we're kind of like, the West Pac-12, whatever. You know, maybe they get a couple, like, star NBA players out of the Pac-12.
Like USC with Mobley, second pick, third pick.
Right, but the teams, they're not going to win championships. We've thought that for a while now. But now, all of a sudden, with Mick Cronin out there and still getting the talent. Because don't forget, remember we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
When he got that job, BT, nobody left.
And nobody he wasn't their first choice.
No.
I think he was third or fourth.
But none of the kids said, all right, Mick Cronin, I'm out of here. Give me the transfer portal. Let me get out of here. They all stayed. And so if he can, you know, obviously motivate kids that see a changing regime come in and decide to stay, and then he also can recruit like he recruited when he was in Cincinnati, UCLA could be a powerhouse.
Well, they should be. They're UCLA.
I agreed, but they haven't been. That's my point.
No, I know. I got you.
They've had good players. I'm not knocking that at all.
For
but
sure.
They just haven't been a powerhouse program.
No, they've had a lot of instability at the coaching spot. They've kind of bounced around a little bit. They kind of lost their way. Now, we also measure them against their incredible history, which is unfair to them.
Completely unfair, especially with the coaching.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, I was looking – I want to throw this out there because I was looking at the last few years, right? Mm-hmm. And this sets up – you know, who knows what kind of game we get tonight. But, you know, Virginia –
just watch it. Get a beer and watch it.
Oh, that's
seriously
what we're going to do.
That's all you can do.
But based on history, I mean, there's a chance we get a route. I mean, you guys won by 7 in mm-hmm. overtime, right?
Yep.
Back in 2018, that Nova-Michigan game, it was a 17-point Nova win.
Yeah.
UNC beat the Zags by 6 in 2017. Back in 2016, that's when Jenkins hit the 3. The Heels lost to Villanova by 3. Duke and Wisconsin the year before that would have been 2015. That was a 5-point game.
Yep.
Like the small sample, the recent, even UConn over Kentucky, mm-hmm. and I guess that would have been 2014. That was a 5 or 6-point game as well.
Yeah.
So like the recent snapshot tells us we're getting a game tonight.
No doubt.
And I expect a 40-minute game. There's no way Baylor's not hanging.
No, I agree with you because they can score.
They average 85 points a game.
They
got pros.
And Gonzaga's 90 points a game, 91 what, 92. Or whatever. Whatever, the 92 points a game.
Yeah.
I mean, could we see an NBA-style score here? I mean, seriously.
Like 117, 109?
No, maybe like 105? Seriously, if these two teams are running up and down the court because they both play fast.
Yes,
like
they do.
Or they're not afraid to play fast. So some teams, they get like panicky when they got to play fast, which is honestly what I thought was going to happen with UCLA. Remember, that was a talking point coming into the game.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA is going to slow it down. That's the only way they can compete if they keep Gonzaga under 70 or whatever the heck the numbers that people were throwing out. UCLA was like, all right, we can run with these guys. We can shoot with these guys.
Selectively run, yep.
Yep. So, I mean, we're going to get a track meet, I think, tonight. At least that's what I hope we get tonight because that'll be entertaining.
I was watching the game. We had in-laws in, you know, Easter, obviously. I'm sitting there watching the game. My brother-in-law, he's running through. He's asking me who I think is a pro, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I, you know, Kispert's a first-round pick. Suggs, we'll get to Suggs more thoroughly coming up next segment if he should go first overall.
Kid's special, man.
Oh, he's incredible. And then we're talking about Timmy. And he's like, you know, my cousin, my brother-in-law's like, yeah, I don't know. Look at the guy. There's a muscle on him. You know, he can't jump. He's not really banging in jump shots. Everything's around the rim. I said, listen, you're not wrong on any of those counts. It looks like he's never stepped foot into a gym or touched a weight, but his passing, I mean, I know that Bill Walton is historically thought as the best passing big man, certainly in college.
Yep.
Arvydas Sabonis, when he came over from USSR, great passer. You know, we know there's been a few, right? But, and I don't know if I'm putting Timmy there yet, but this kid's passing is phenomenal.
BT.
That's the key to me in terms of winning this game tonight.
What do you like to say? If he was Drew...
What's the name for Timmy?
I'm trying to think of a Polish.
I know. I was thinking Timmy.
Slovakian.
It is a hard one.
The thing, years ago with Frank Kaminsky from Wisconsin, I said if Frank Kaminsky going, because we were trying to size up his talent as a draft choice, and we
big
were right.
Man who could shoot.
Yep. But we were right. Fringe NBA guy.
Yeah, of course.
And I said, listen, if his name was Kaminskiano and he was from Italy, he'd be the third overall pick. But because he's, you know, basically a white American, he's going to go a little lower and he'll probably, you know, meet his water point as an average pro, which is what's happened. If he was from some exotic faraway land, with the stash and the aura, and by the way, the footwork, very adept left hand, right hand, pivot foot, passing. Hey, Michael, top 10, top 8. He really might.
And a very willing and good defender as well.
Yes, he is.
Even
if he does roll that shoulder in occasionally when he's taking the charge.
He'll be interesting on the next level because I don't know.
I like him better than you do as a pro. Just watching the NBA game.
Yeah.
Now, he's got to add a little pop. He's got to show a jump shot. Mm-hmm. Everything's around the rim. He's not doing that against, you know, Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Or Giannis or anybody.
Or Mitchell Robinson, any of these big, you know, shot blockers for sure. But I'm convinced he gets with the right team. Like, you put him on the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
You get him with shooters and cutters. I think Timmy would be a very, very... very serviceable pro.
Yeah, there'll be some question marks where he's going to get drafted. Where his teammate's going to get drafted, there's almost no doubt right now.
Well, the only doubt is should he go one? Because he's not going one, he's going two. I mean, let's get into that coming up. You're right. Cunningham's been the consensus one all season. And I'm not here to knock it, but then you see things that Suggs does.
Yes.
Football background, the body control, the toughness, the chops, hitting that buzzer beater.
Yeah.
I don't know how you pass up Suggs at one, Teague. We got to get into this coming up next.
You're right. Real quickly, John Rothstein's reporting that the North Carolina Tar Heels are on the verge of hiring Hubert Davis.
Hubert Davis.
But they're holding an emergency meeting at 3 p.m. to discuss the terms and conditions. So
we'll hit it. We will, as we talked about last week, figuring out what they might do with Roy Williams retiring. We thought that he could easily move up that one seat. He's been assistant there since 2012. So the Tar Heels, as they usually do, staying in the family. Mm-hmm. Rothstein's got that. We'll hit that. And also, should Suggs go first? Next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney brought to you by Werner. And somebody's busting out the ladder tonight, cutting down some nets. The official ladder of NCAA March Madness. And the official ladder of professional contractors everywhere. Werner, the number one pro ladder brand. Happy Monday, everybody. Hopefully everybody had an outstanding weekend, a great Easter. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Shohei Ohtani, I mean, I don't know if they had different, like, boom microphones out there in California. But when Shohei Ohtani on Sunday Night Baseball, maybe they did bust out the better cameras and better mics. But when he connected on that 450-foot bomb on the first pitch, a letter-high fastball.
Yeah.
Teague, I've been watching baseball a long time. I've seen Bonds connect on a few like that, even A-Rod. But that sound was unique.
Yeah, it's probably helped because it's a little bit like the stadiums aren't completely full.
Uh-huh.
But still, man, he got up and got it, too, because that thing was about – It was like shoulder high.
Yes.
It wasn't like letter high. It was like shoulder high.
Yeah, it was up on its own for sure. And within about a 15-minute sequence, he threw a pitch at 101 miles an hour, and his exit velo on that tank job to right center was 115.1.
BT, we should get into that a little bit later because I feel like didn't we say he should just focus on being a hitter?
Right. We've gone back and forth.
I know.
For the most part,
I think our latest iteration, because we've had this conversation since he came in the league.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, he can do both. No. He's just got to be a hitter. Just be a hitter. Dude, this if he's healthy and he looks big now.
Yeah, he does. He can run too.
You said this offseason. He bulked up. He looked stout on the mound. I kind of want to see this now. I want to see the two-way player.
So good for baseball. You and I will get to that coming up next hour here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So, by the way, did you see the little throwback tweet that somebody threw out? I think CBS, the NFL on CBS, retweeted it.
Yeah,
did you see this of yourself?
Yeah, I did, with Bruce Arians and...
No, not that from over the weekend. There was something, I guess, in the last 10 minutes.
Like,
You know the Twitter account NFL Throwback?
Oh, yes.
They just had a nice, I guess, about a two-minute montage of you busting out some moves from back in the day.
Yeah, no, I saw that
nice
one as well.
Yeah, did see it. Okay.
I broke a lot of long touchdown runs. Unconventional plays, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The one at the pylon on the left side where you threw your body in there face first.
Oh, yeah.
You were young then, I think.
That was Arizona, right?
Is that
the one where I reverse field?
No, it was at Giant Stadium. It was at the Meadowlands. But I don't know where you may have been playing the cards. Either way, if you guys want to check it out, I retweeted it, and I know our show account did as well. When Tiki was a young football stud,
not a kid anymore.
That's right.
I can run, but just straight ahead now.
Yep. Now it is really about the kids, and we get to the upcoming draft in the NBA. You know, I mean, whomever it is going to have a very tough decision because I have been incredibly comfortable with Cade Cunningham all year, as many of us have, most of us have been. As the consensus first overall pick, you need some height, mobile USC, maybe you go there. I wouldn't take him over Cade Cunningham. Mm-hmm. I've never taken that position. But if you're number two, if you're nestled in at number two, mobile can fit the bill for a lot of teams that need some size and some athleticism. But, Teague, I'm not saying I'm fully convinced that it's got to be Suggs now.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that you don't need to overthink. And that sequence... the timing on the block shot.
Yep.
The underrated part of that play, the ability to kind of negotiate the baseline there and stay in bounds and get the ball and zoom up court and throw a one-hop rocket in stride. How is that guy not the first overall pick?
Yeah, so it's play. By the way, he's been doing stuff like this all season long. It's just because they're out in Spokane, Washington. We don't see it all the time because they're on late. The games are on late. But you watch the highlights of this kid. You see him do some miraculous type things, things that, you know, you covet when you're an NBA team because you know it's game changing, like it's uplifting, it's motivating, not dissimilar to how Trae Young, when he first came into the NBA. Now, he's got a little bit too much of a ball, a hawkishness, talking about Trae Young, which is why.
You mean ball dominance, you mean?
Yeah, ball dominance.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, not hawkish. Yeah, dominance.
Gotcha.
That kind of is, it tried on Atlanta until Nate took over.
McMillan took over. We're doing a good job.
Doing a very good job because he's pulling that role away from Trae a little bit. But remember his rookie season, it was like, man, this kid can do everything. Mm-hmm. He can sky, he can dunk, he can, you know, shoot the three, he can distribute when he wants to. Jalen Suggs feels like that kind of player. Not as like frenetic as Trae Young was, but that kind of impactful player. Mm. Now, Cade Cunningham could be that as well, but maybe because it's a recency thing and we're seeing him play in a national championship game, his stock is getting elevated because on the biggest stages against the best teams that are left, he's not missing a beat. It's like he's, you know, playing every single game this season against some of the best teams in college basketball right now. It's still at this ridiculously high level.
You know what it is for him? I mean, listen, when you're thrown around as a potential, well, I mean, he's obviously going to be a lottery pick, but I mean, even going back to the start of the season, a potential lottery pick before we really got to see him play, the physical gifts are undeniable. I mean, you watch a player like Cunningham who shoots the three ball better than Suggs at this. I think Cade was right around 40% from downtown. Suggs going to have to work that out a little bit, which I trust he will. But the requisite athletic gifts are there. What I need to see, I want to see sporting intelligence, I want to see decisiveness, and I want to see fearlessness. Mm-hmm. And when that entire trio, that package, was fully on display, I'm not saying Cade didn't flash that.
Yeah.
He did. He did often. I've referenced his interview after he beat the Sooners a few times, Cade Cunningham, where he was very complimentary, deflected, took it away from himself, put it right back on his teammates, thought that was a great look. It shows great awareness for a leader. It's awesome. But the I'm not saying I'm committed fully to Suggs at number one, but Teak, that package, the entire that 9 second clip shows his intelligence, his anticipatory skills, his fearlessness, and his decisiveness. You know he's got the other stuff. He's 6'5", 205. He's kind of got a Jason Kidd body.
Yeah.
Only maybe a little more explosive. He's going to be 215
when
it's all said and done. How do you stop this guy?
Talking about Cade Cunningham?
I'm talking about Suggs now.
Yeah.
Suggs is a solid 205 with a football mentality.
He is. The difference is with Cade, he's like 6'8 and 220. He's stout. Like, so the only thing you worry about is he feel too young? And I know he's coming out.
What do you mean, does he feel too young? They're all young. Every top pick is young.
I understand that, but that's why half of them don't make it. Like, that's why half of them don't pan out. They may be fantastic in high school, and then obviously for their year or whatever in college. And then they get to the NBA, and it feels too young. The difference, and you mentioned this about Cade, is that Cade sounds at least like he's very mature. Like he's ahead of it, ahead of his age, which is, I think, 19. Yeah, he's 19. His birthday is in September. And so he'll be actually 20 when he gets into the NBA, Cade Cunningham. Whereas Jalen Suggs, he might still feel young at 19. That's the only difference.
I'll take my chance. Ja Morant, Zion, they're young.
Zion's different because he's got stupid athleticism.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't care if you're playing against a 5-year, 10-year vet. I know that you're probably more athletic than him. Talking about Zion. Mm-hmm. Ja Morant might be able to argue that as well, because the kid can jump out of the gym.
Freak athlete.
Yep. Is Suggs that? I don't know.
No, I don't think he's a freakish, but Jason Kidd, that's why, you know, there's the things that you can measure and the things you can't.
Yeah.
And there's one thing that I've learned, like, there's certain things that I don't need to overthink. When I'm sitting there and I see him do what he did in the moment in which he did it, that's enough.
Yeah.
Because I know he's got the other stuff.
Yep.
But the
it's like it's the extra IQ.
Yeah.
Right. That you can't quantify, really. You know it when you see it, but you can't really quantify it.
Yep. And he's a former quarterback, so you know getting to the hole, especially, that's why I said he's 205, but he's going to put on, you know, 10 pounds, 12 pounds of functional weight over the, you know, 7-8 years of his NFL, of his NBA career. I mean, who's stopping this guy going to the hole? What guards?
Yeah.
He's going to run people over.
True. It's very, it's a good point.
So we'll see, but it's going to be a race. It's going to be a race for one. You know, we all knew Zion was going one. This one's a little less certain, but tonight we get a chance to watch what should be a special, special show. Gonzaga undefeated, trying to do what Indiana did in 76, and the Baylor Bears, who have been right there all year, a little bit below Gonzaga, number two when they were supposed to play back in December.
Yeah,
this is going to be awesome. Really pumped up about this. We'll get back to College Hoops a little later in the show. Teak, let's get the update. All right, we'll get that for Mac coming up. After that, inbounds, out of bounds. We all know, like most sports, the NFL never misses a chance to cash in and make a little extra money, get some extra clicks. They might be in the process of doing that. Teague and I will determine if we like possible new venture. We'll hit that after Axe update right now. Here's Rich. All right, Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. What's happening? Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Awesome time to be a sports fan. Right now, before we get to inbounds, out of bounds, it is time to ask the pros. We'll give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty easy. Drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. That's at CBS Sports Radio. Hashtag Ask the Pros. Stick around. Listen later on. We might answer your question. So we'll handle it on air. We'll give you some props as well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hey, it's Masters Week. Jordan Spieth, he might be on the inbounds, out of bounds menu. We'll hit that in a moment. Next hour, it looks as if Sean Payton might be getting ready to throw a little curveball in the quarterback derby, Teak. We'll hit that. We'll circle back to our Otani conversation. And also a conversation you and I had at the beginning of the season for the game's greatest shooter of all time, multi-MVP, multi-champ. We were both very curious how much Steph Curry, in a sport where one player can generally elevate more than the other sports, right? Mike Trout can't win a World Series by himself, as we know, with the Angels. You know, Steph Curry, we might have our answer. They have had a really, really rough season, and I want to revisit that. So we'll get to that coming up hour number two. Get back to the College Hoops as well right now. Inbounds, out of bounds. You ready, Teak? See what we got?
Yep, let's go.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Teake and Tierney.
All right. One of the cooler events in college sports, although it's not quite like it used to be, but back in the day it was awesome. It's still kind of cool, but it doesn't have the punch it used to. Midnight Madness, right? So where teams kick off their seasons, arenas filled up, fans, and they have the music, and they have all sorts of fun, giveaways, etc., to kick off the team's first practices. Now the NFL is reportedly considering a Midnight Madness type of event to open training camps this year, with the league attempting to have 28 teams open on the same date with fanfare, broadcasts, and events.
Love it.
Okay, here you go. In or out. You do like the idea of an NFL training camp Midnight Madness, Teak. What you got?
Absolutely, BT. This is inbounds, and it's not even a question. The NFL and their training camps have become, I don't want to say insignificant, because obviously there's learning that goes on. It's a necessary part of team building, but they don't do anything, right? The guys don't hit. They don't even have two-a-days anymore. And if they do have two-a-days, one of them's a walkthrough. The one-a-day that they have is usually in half pads anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it's become a shell of what it used to be. Like, the intensity is just not there anymore. And so if I was a fan, I'm not going around. I'm not going to, say, when we had it at the University of Albany, I wouldn't go to the University of Albany just to watch guys walk around in their underwear. That's non-pads, by the way. Not really their underwear.
Because we all know that you actually might do that, right?
Exactly. A tight little skivvies.
We know you got that. We've seen the picture, unfortunately, T.
But the reality is, I think having a Midnight Madness type of event to kick it off would make it interesting again. Make it feel, I don't know, real.
Big,
exactly.
Yes.
Now it's gotten really small. So inbound, man. Not
totally.
Even a question.
This is great. I love it. I'm totally with you. Fully enthusiastic about it. Open-minded. What's happened is that it's become, aside from, you know, relatively mundane based on the reasons that Tiki just gave, it's also incredibly confusing to know when the hell what team opens. All right, the Jaguars on, I'm just throwing date, July 17th, and you got the Panthers on July 19th, and rookies report this day, and then Mets come. What? When does camp start? Like, that's all I need to know. Don't give me dribs and drabs. Just start camp. I think it would be great symbolism. You could ratchet up the enthusiasm, and it wouldn't be contrived, phony enthusiasm. It would be well-received. You know the NFL Network would do this very well. You'd have great cohesion. The teams would obviously work in sync. The league would work in sync with broadcast partners, CBS as well. I think it would be awesome. I don't know how anybody would think that this is not a good idea. It illuminates the start of something that we all crave. Football season. Home run. Do it, NFL. We love it.
Agreed.
Are you in or are you out?
Number two. All right. Giannis now batting number two. Derek Jeter, number two. Giannis has won back-to-back MVPs. He signed on to stay in Milwaukee long-term, as we know. So the Bucks are doing everything in their power to build around them. And after trading for Jrue Holiday, very good player, as we know, before the season, the Bucks have now given their 30-year-old. He is 30. But they've given him a four-year extension, $135 mil. Now, he's averaging 17 points, 5 assists. His PER is 23, great number.
Yep.
As the Bucks sit third in the Eastern Conference, filling in the Nets ahead of them. In or out, the Bucks could win a title with this trio of Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday.
Ooh. This is a tough one.
You're already contemplating more than I had to.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
I'm going to say out of bounds simply because of what's in the Eastern Conference. Because, we know the Nets are going to be where they are, and the 76ers, they're only going to get better, right? So in order for the Bucks to compete, they need another, wing shoot, a 3-and-D guy, basically, who plays out on the wing. Now, Bobby Portis, I like him coming off the bench. My guy from Virginia, Diakite, he's starting to get some run. He's young, and he's only played, I think, in 6 or 7 games or something. But he's got the size, and he's got the defensive mindset. Mm-hmm. And if he can turn into a scorer, maybe. But I think they need another star. So I'm going to say out of bounds, BT.
Me too. I mean, this was very easy.
Yeah.
And I really like Jrue Holiday as a player. I've always liked him.
It's less about Drew, though. Right.
Correct. Well, it's about the totality of their star power, which to me still falls short of certainly the Nets and falls short of the Sixers with a healthy Embiid. I they'll make it interesting. They'll win the first round probably pretty easily.
Yep.
They're going to be in a dogfight in round two, no matter who they play. I think we all kind of know who they could play.
Yep.
Any of those teams, there's no guarantee they get past that. Matter of fact, I think I would pick them to lose more times than I would to advance. So I really respect the Bucks. I really respect what they're building or trying to organically.
That's the right word, trying to.
Trying to. Yes. But this trio just doesn't do it for me. We're talking championship.
Yeah.
These guys, I would think, would fall a tick short.
Are you in or are you out?
Masters week, yo. We got the Masters this week.
I mean, it's easy to forget.
Because of the championship tonight. But Masters tees off on Thursday, and of course Tiger won't be there after the horrific accident. However, one bit of good news for golf fans. Jordan Spieth looked the part yesterday and over the weekend. The Valero Open out there in San Antonio. He ends his four-year winless drought over the weekend. I watched a lot of this, by the way.
You could see it coming.
Yes, he's been knocking on the door for the past 5 weeks. He's been right there. Now, he's had usually Sunday or the back nine on Saturday slowed him down, but he has played some good golf for a while. You're right. It's his first win at over 1,300 days and 82 events.
Wow.
After he won 3 majors and 11 total tournaments in his first 5 years on tour. And Jordan Spieth is still in his 20s. He's a young man. In or out, you do believe that Spieth can return to being a dominant tour player with multiple majors again?
I'm going to say out of bounds.
You hate
him? Yeah, I'm not a hater, but do I think he can win some majors and win some events? Yes, but it's going to depend on the track that he's playing on. These ones that are big, wide open, they require you to be a masher.
Yeah.
He's just coming into these greens with long irons as opposed to the short stick, and that's just going to put him at a disadvantage unless he starts putting like a maniac like he did 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to see a little bit more of that coming back.
Oh, we are.
But I can't rely on that. I can't say, he's going to knock down, 20 to 40 footers on a regular basis in order to keep himself at the top of these lists on weekends. And no. But this weekend, He might be one of my favorites, given how the Masters plays, and knowing that you got to have a mind even more so than the, you know, the length to dominate it, as Bryson DeChambeau.
That's right. You know, Teague, I was very, very happy for Spieth. I know you were as
well. Me too.
I watched a lot of this over the weekend. My father-in-law is a great golfer. They're in, so we were enjoying this. I was rooting for Jordan Spieth. It was a good finish. Wallace was in his group, Hoffman's there, who's been around for a little bit. Hoffman actually had a chance on 18. He hit that 3-wood. He had a chance if he eagles that. And Spieth, who hit a very weird layup second shot. I don't know if the nerves got a little bit of him there. But Jordan Spieth, first of all, in terms of majors pertaining to the question, my answer is yes. Because right away, you know, 25% of the majors that you play on do not require great length. Mm-mm. Because Augusta's not long. Doesn't play very long.
Nope.
And, you know, he knows every nook and cranny. There was a chip yesterday, and he took a full swing. It was on 17, I want to say. He took a full swing. And I'm like, why is he? I said this to my father-in-law. I said, why is he taking such a full swing? He was like basically on the fringe.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big swing for, he's only like 20 yards maybe away. And Teague, he almost hold it. And to me, that showed me that his nerves were right where they needed to be, that his feel and that his mind are in sync. Now, granted, you know, clipping a ball and getting it to stop a foot and a half from the hole at the Valero Open is a little, not to diminish the event, but you know what I'm saying, is a little different than the PGA Championship or the Masters or the Ryder Cup and all the big events. I get it, but, you know, to me, he, I'm not going to say he's going to come back better than when he was at his apex, but this will harden him to the point the next time the swing goes awry, and it happens to every golfer, I don't think he'll enter the abyss as deeply as he did this time because he knows there's a well, like you can, like a faucet, I should say, to turn on to get out of it.
That's a good point.
That's been reinforced because he has fought his way out of it.
Yeah,
1,300 days.
Yeah, you got to fail and get up before you know you can actually get up.
That's right. And he was chasing distance because he's not incredibly long. But then again, they say he's not that long. I'm watching him fly the ball.
I know.
296 off the tee, which, like, again, isn't Bryson DeChambeau, but you tack on 20 yards a roll, it's 320.
That's right.
He's not Corey Pavin hitting a 217or 240.
He's actually gotten longer, though, because I remember
that
used to be 270, 275. Now it's 290, 295.
It's a great point. And that whole, everybody's chasing speed, and it's all a mathematical equation.
Mm-hmm.
Ball speed and swing speed equal distance. So, you know, he knows the numbers, and now I think everything is in sync. And I think that Jordan Spieth, while he doesn't have the game of a Bryson or even a Koepka when he's right, or Dustin Johnson or a Rory, like that kind of game, he's got a kind of game when he's in that you can win a lot. I'm saying inbounds, and I'm rooting for Jordan Spieth, one of the good guys on tour.
No doubt.
All right, T. Good first hour. Awesome first hour. You guys want to hit us up on Twitter, go for it, at Tiki and Tierney. The Saints reportedly very interested in Kyle Trask. Wow, we'll get to that side story next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.